Just a heads up, everyone, these are adults having adult conversations, so there is the possibility of adult language. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Magic Lessons, a podcast produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. I'm Elizabeth Gilbert, and I just wrote this book called Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. But even when I was finished with the book, I didn't feel like I was really finished with the subject. So I wanted to make this podcast where I could take the subject of creativity out into the world and have real conversations with real people about it. And that's where magic lessons come from. And what are magic lessons? Roadmaps for the path to creativity, the extra nudge we need when we're feeling stuck in our creative lives. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Magic Lessons. I'm Liz Gilbert. In the last episode, I spoke with Missy in Florida. She works at a call center by day, which she feels like is a major drudge, because it kind of is. But her true passion is to be a writer. I gave her my take and some ideas on what to do, but I also wanted to call up my friend, the pastor Rob Bell, to offer a bit more advice. He's somebody I always turn to when I feel like I need to fill in my soul a bit more. Is that Rob Bell?
Oh, my word. Come on.
Hi, Rob Bell.
How are you?
So, Rob, I got to ask you, where physically and geographically are you at this moment? Because I know I sort of spontaneously called you on your cell phone and that you took this emergency call. Where are you?
We live on top of a mountain and there's terrible reception. So I am down in town next to the ocean and trying to find a spot where it sounds good.
So, Rob, listen, let me tell you why very specifically I brought you on. Aside from that, I will take any opportunity to spend time with you and talk to you because I adore you and I adore talking to you. But I have an actual agenda. And so you are going to help me with Missy. Missy is a young woman who lives in South Florida. Her parents were immigrants. One is Chilean, one is Cuban. She had a kind of rough and wild decade in her 20s, and now she's sort of getting herself integrated and figuring out what she wants to do next. She is currently working in what she describes as the world's most boring job, and that is a job working in a call center, working for an insurance company. She sits in a cubicle and 8 hours a day has to read a script over the phone to people and will be disciplined if she is caught altering that script in any way or showing any humanity toward the person on the phone that she's talking to. But the reason I wanted to call you in on this case is for people like Missy, and there are a lot of them working in the sort of capitalist machine where jobs seem sometimes designed to suck the life and the joy and the spontaneity and the humanity out of you. I know that you have stuff to say about the grind that's different from anything I've ever heard anybody else say. And so I wanted to sort of tap into you on that and see if you had anything to say about how we might look at those sorts of jobs and find light anyway.
Well, first, I always want to point out to people that despair is a spiritual condition. When people have a sense that tomorrow is simply going to be a repeat of today, that's a lethal conviction. So oftentimes what happens is people feel trapped. Like, this is the only job I'm ever going to have. This is the best it's going to get. And they make judgments about the future when we don't know that. What we know is right now you're there and they're giving you money to do something that's sucking your soul dry, but they are giving you money to do it. And it's a period, it's a phase, it's a chapter of your life. So for many people, the universe is a static place. It doesn't change. It's just here. It's like a steady state model of the universe. It just is, and you're where you are, and you're stuck. But what we know from quantum physics and you name it, what we know is the universe is becoming. It's a place of great energy and relationship. And whatever chapter you're in now, it will not stay this way. So I would start with Missy and not say, oh, no, no, your job actually is great. If your job is terrible, it's terrible. But right now, you're getting paid to do this. And part of the discipline is like remaining wide-eyed and filled with wonder. I believe that the universe is on your side. If Missy wants to do good in the world and she sets her sights on being open and teachable and humble and flexible, I have no doubt that she will not be at this job forever. I'd start right at the heart of despair.
Yeah, the beautiful and equally terrible thing about our lives is that nothing remains the same.
Yes. Yes. Impermanence is like the soul of the universe. It just keeps changing.
I think it's so funny how bent out of shape that makes us, because when we want something to be the same as it always was, we get so outraged when it changes. And when we hate the situation as it is, we get so outraged that it doesn't change fast enough.
Right.
You know, we're kind of always trying to impose our time frame on change and like order it in some way.
And then you know what I do? What I would talk to Missy about is I would say, Missy, picture a bucket next to your chair in your cubicle. And every single time you feel trapped, you feel like your precious energies are being squandered in this horrible job. Every time it feels soul-sucking, take whatever that energy, that frustration, anger, helplessness, and put it in that bucket. I would literally give her some, maybe they have a rule against having buckets, so an imaginary bucket. But I would literally...
They probably do have a rule against having buckets, Rob. It sounds like that kind of word. No buckets.
Stick to the script and
leave your buckets in the car.
But one of the things about really brutal situations is they create phenomenal energy in you. It's blocked energy. It's frustrated energy. It's all stopped up energy. But it is energy. And if you can, somewhere in your heart and psyche, collect it, and every day after work, you walk outside and get in your car and you have a notebook on the front seat and you jot down every new idea, every frustration, every emotion. Who knows what short stories are lying dormant right there?
My husband said, please tell Missy that her first novel is called Call Center.
Yes.
So here's the other thing I was thinking when you were talking, you mentioned the word discipline, right? To have the discipline to see things with wide open wonder in all circumstances. And I was thinking that the job that Missy was describing actually does not sound very different from the sort of jobs that monks have always given themselves to do. Repetitive, boring jobs where you just... You know, when I went to an ashram in India, they gave me the job of scrubbing the floor every single day. And that was my spiritual practice. You know, like it's like a tradition, especially in Eastern, Eastern, in Western religion as well, too, that you do the boring, repetitive thing in order to sort of what break down your ego, open up your consciousness. What does that do? What's the possibility that could happen there?
I tend to think of it, if you can pay attention in the valley, then you're going to have no problem paying attention on the mountain.
Wow, I like that.
And so what most people do is they're waiting for the big ecstatic experience with fireworks and banners and trombone players.
Right.
To announce to them how good things are and transcendence and redemption and grace and all the big themes we're all chasing. But if you can learn to see the presence, the goodness, the beauty on your knees scrubbing a floor or in a call center, you have just created some pretty powerful muscles in yourself. Even in that awful call center, she's surrounded by people. She's interacting with human beings. What is going on right in front of her, but she's just missing it? And if she could become an observer of that, I mean, the great writers are great observers. They notice what all of us, I mean, what you do, you notice stuff that the rest of us see, but we don't see.
Well, it's like having x-ray goggles in a way, right? You see through the apparent reality to some other underneath part.
If she could give insight into how to protect your soul in a soulless environment, that's a writer who we need.
Right, yeah. And actually, she's an uncommon human inside of what's become a very common human experience, which is that kind of job. And but she has an uncommon sensibility, I could tell just by talking to her. I mean, that's the reason I wanted to talk to her, because of what came across in her letter to me. The wonderful art teacher and artist Linda Barry has an assignment that she gives people because they always say their lives are boring and nothing ever happens and every day is the same. And so she makes them keep a journal where they have to list a couple things they saw that day and a couple things they heard that day. And when you look at that journal month after month, you see and hear different things every single day. Even if you're commuting to the same job in the same cubicle and coming home to the same people, and you have to, it makes you pay attention so you can list those five things. Like, oh, today I saw two dogs fighting on the side of the street next to the stop sign when I was, you know, walking to work. Today I heard this. And when you are attentive, you do see that every hour is different.
Yeah.
You know, it's a new universe every minute.
People are inviting you into their lives. So an example would be, I would say to Missy, the next time there's a 10-minute break and you step outside for some fresh air and one of your coworkers, fellow call center employees, says, wow, it was a rough weekend. Instead of the thing that happens for many of us, which is, oh, dear God, I don't want to hear about your weekend. You know what I mean? Oh, please. I got enough of my own troubles. Think about it. Instead of it like a closed door, think about it like an open door.
Right.
Say,
what happened?
What happened?
Right.
I often tell people, you're one question away from fantastic content. And you're not even content hunting. You're just being a human being who cares about people.
Right, but which is the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. But you never know what's one question away. Really, it was? Tell me. Why? Oh, that must have been difficult. Tell me more. What do you think you're going to do? What do you think they're going to do? Do you think he'll come back to you? Do you think that they'll evict you? Do you think that, like, just questions, curiosity, interesting right. People find the world interesting.
Yeah, I've never met a bored person who isn't also boring. It's terrible, but whenever people are like, I'm bored, I'm like, you're boring. You're not bored, you're bored. Like, just, it, And I've never met an interesting person who isn't also interested. Those two things go hand in hand, who isn't fascinated by everything, by everyone, by all the mysteries, you know? But I'm wondering if you can take us out on a story, and the story, if I can give you a command performance, I'm wondering if you can tell me the story about the monk, the brother, who wasn't good enough to be a monk and wasn't good enough to be a soldier.
Oh, yeah. This was, France in the 1600s. As a man, he wasn't good enough to be a soldier, wasn't good enough to be a monk, but he got a job in the kitchen of a monastery, and he decided, I can't join the monks for their prayers, so I will offer my work in the kitchen to God. I will assume that there's a being, presence, divine love that's with me all the time, and so I will just devote myself to my tasks in the kitchen of the monastery. And legend about him spread. They started calling him Brother Lawrence. And people would come from miles around just to be with him while he peeled potatoes, because there was such an overwhelming sense of love and grounded, centered divine with him. He actually wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of the Divine, something like that. But it's just a great story about how it is whenever you go farther into the center of whatever you're doing, no matter how routine or mundane it is.
I love that.
There's something there.
I love that. And I love it. It speaks to something that you always say, that I am happy to hear you say every time you say it, which is that your life is not happening someplace else. You know? And that's not to say that you can't change and move and shift. Like, I'm a big believer in, like, get up and go and move if it's time to get up and go and move. But don't think...
We're good at that.
Both of us are really good at that, but that doesn't mean that you're on hold until that moment comes, you know, that there's
Absolutely.
That like that there's been a pause button pressed on your life and your life is not now happening and it won't happen until 6 months from now when you get to move to Phoenix, you know, it's happening.
Yes.
It's happening now. It's happening here. It's happening with the people that you're with. Your spiritual practice and your creative practice are the way that you interact with everybody, including yourself, at every single moment that you are awake.
I don't know what the rules are about sticking to the script and not having buckets, but if she had a little space in her cubicle and she could write on a tiny piece of paper, the action is here. Let me just put it right there.
The action is here. Everybody who is at this moment where they maybe don't want to be and they're working on a plan to escape, keep going with your escape plan. It's always good. But in the meantime, remember that you are still alive right now and that the action is here right now. Rob Bell, even from a cell phone in a parking lot, you're like the most freaking inspiring person in the entire world. Rob Bell, you are a walking benediction. I love you.
Okay, this was so much fun.
And thank you.
Thank you, Liz. Big magic to everybody listening.
Big magic to everyone. And thank you, Missy, for letting us use your story as a story for everybody. Rob Bell is a pastor, a public speaker, and the best-selling author of Love Wins and What We Talk About When We Talk About God. He has his own really inspiring podcast that I listen to, well, religiously, and it's called The Robcast. He's a wonderful human being. You can find out more about him at robbell.com. Thanks for listening. I really hope you'll join me next time. Magic Lessons is produced by MaximumFun.org and Riverhead Books. Michelle Siegel is our producer. Our executive producer is Jesse Thorne. Our theme music is by Dave Cahill. Special thanks to Becky Salatin, Jeffrey Klosky, Michelle Kafopoulos, Lydia Hurt, and Paul Ruest of Argo Studios. If you want to learn more about my ideas on creative inspiration, check out my new book, Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. It's published by Riverhead, and it comes out September 22nd, 2015. You can find out more information about my comings and goings on elizabethgilbert.com, and you can always find me, personally, on Facebook, because I'm there literally every single day. So let's keep the conversation going. Next time on Magic Lessons, a singer-songwriter who wants to get her inspiration back.